Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Viewers, this is the fourth episode of the 17th topic. We have been discussing the interpretations of the famous hadith which says that the Quran was revealed on seven ahruf. We have already discussed four major interpretations of this narrative in my previous talks on this topic. Today, inshallah, I'll take up the fifth interpretation of this topic. And this fifth interpretation actually presupposes the existence of variant readings in the Quran. Although I'll present my own view later on, perhaps in the next topic regarding the variant readings, but considering the fact that people have interpreted this narrative in the background of those variant readings, I will first confine myself to what these people and our earlier authorities have posited in this regard, as well as on the criticism which has been proffered by various authorities. So, in this regard, what needs to be understood is that this interpretation says that the word ahruf here, or the seven ahruf here, refer to the seven types of differences found in Quranic readings. There are seven types of differences. I'll just enumerate those differences. But on the basis of these differences, our scholars can actually be divided into two distinct categories. The first of this category belongs Ibn Qutaybah, Al-Baqilani, and Al-Kaisi, Makki Al-Kaisi. So these are the three scholars which make up the first category. And the second category actually consists of a single person who's called Abul Fadl Al-Razi. So the difference between the two categories is that the first category, which consists of actually three persons, they have enumerated exactly the same differences in the Quranic readings and have come up with the same set of differences. So therefore, I have categorized them in a single group. And the second category, which is Abul Fadl Al-Razi, he has also made a categories. He has different categories, but his categorization is different from the first category. So I'll now take up the first category, which, as you would recall, is made up of differences which actually our scholars have tabulated, differences in the types of readings, variant readings of the Quran, which our scholars have tabulated. And the first category is, in this regard, is again, I'm going to point out the seven types of differences as this people of this category have posited. Now, the first difference they have posited is the variations in I'rab or in harakat, which neither change the shape of a word nor the meaning. So this is the first type of variant reading difference which people of this category have actually pointed out. And I'll also let you know that in this regard, most of our scholars have not actually pointed out the ascription or the person to whom a particular variant reading would be ascribed to. They have just cited the reading itself. So I have made the effort to find out which exactly or who exactly was the person who was responsible for a particular reading. So I'll also let you know about that. So as I said, the first difference is variations in I'rab, which are the vowel sounds, or in harakat, which is the vocalization, or the harakat of a word is not the I'rab, but the vocalization, which neither change the shape of the word nor the meaning. So as far as the harakat is concerned, the example that they give is Allazina yabkhaluna wa ya'muruna an-nasa bil bukhl. So this is verse 37 of Surah Nisa. And it is said that Hamza and Al-Kasai has also read Al-Bukhl here as Bakhl. So this is an example of a variation in harakat. In an example in the variation of I'rab, please consider the verse Wahal Nujazi illa al-Kafur. This is verse 17 of Surah number 34. And the way it has been read like this, it is the reading of Hafs, Hamza, Al-Kasai, Yaqub, Khalaf, Abu Abdurrahman, As-Sulami, and some others. And I have taken the ascription of these readings from the famous compendium on Qiraat called Mujmul Qiraat. And this is compiled by Abdul Latif Al-Khatib. So the variation here is Wahal Yujaza illa al-Kafur. So the first one had Hal Nujazi illal Kafur, but here the variation is Hal Yujaza illal Kafur, and this is the reading of Nafi ibn Kasir, Abu Amr ibn Amir, and some others. So this is an example of the first category. I've given the example of the first category. Now the second variation, this is the example of the first difference of the first category. Now I'm going to come up to the second difference of this first category. And this is called variations in I'rab or in harakat, which do not change the shape of a word but change the meaning. So this is slightly different from the previous one, because in the previous one we had words which neither change the shape of the word nor the meaning. But here, in fact, the issue is that they do not change the shape of the word, but the meaning changes. So the example cited here is, as is being displayed before you, verse 45 of Surah Yusuf, and the words are وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ. And this is the qiraat of al-jama'ah, as pointed out by al-khatib in his Mujam al-qiraat. But then the variation here is وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أَمَهِن. The same verse has been read as وَدَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أَمَهِن. And this is the reading of Ibn Abbas, Zayd ibn Ali, Az-Zahaq, Qatada, and some others, as pointed out by al-khatib in his Mujam al-qiraat. So this is the second variation, viewers. Remember, we have to enumerate seven of them. So this is the second variation which occurs and which has been pointed out by scholars of this category. Now I go on to the third variation of this category, and this says that variations in the letters of the alphabet which change the meaning of without changing the shape and the vowel sounds. So in this regard, what is done is that the meaning would change without a change in the shape and vowel sounds. So the ara would not change and the shape of the word would not change, but the meaning would change. And the example cited here is kaifa nun shizuha, and this is the reading of Ibn Amir, Asim, Hamza, Al-Kasai, Khalaf, Amash, and Zayd ibn Sabit. So therefore it says kaifa nun shizuha. The opposite meaning or the contrary reading here is kaifa nun shiruha. So the za has been replaced by a ra. And this is the reading of Nafi ibn Kasir, Abu Amr, Ibn Amir, Yaqub, Abu Ja'far, and Ibn Abbas, as cited by Al-Khatib in his Mujam al-Qira'at. So I next come up with the fourth variation in this regard. And the fourth variation is that variations which change the shape of a word without changing its meaning. Now the shape changes, but the meaning remains the same. In other words, the word is actually replaced by a different word. So the example cited here, as you can see on your screens, is in kanat illa sayhatan wahida, and this is the reading of the Jumhur as pointed out by Al-Khatib. And in comparison, the other reading is in kanat illa zakiyatan wahida. So you can see that although the meaning has remained the same, sayha and zakiya have the same meaning, but of course they are different words. And this is verse 29 of Surah Yasin, the 36th surah of the Quran. We now go on to the fifth variation. And this actually variation, it says that variations which change the shape of a word as well as its meaning. So it is like having an entirely new set of words. So it changes the shape of the word and it also changes the meaning. And the example cited here is وَتَلْحِمْ مَمْدُود, which is the 29th verse of Surah Waqia, the 56th Surah of the Quran. And this reading is the reading of the Jumhur, as pointed out by Al-Khatib. And in comparison, the other reading is وَتَلْعِنْ مَمْدُود. So here we can see that the shape of the word as well as its meaning has been changed, because تَلْحِنْ has changed to تَلْعِنْ. We next go on to the sixth variation. And this actually relates to variations which change the order of the words in a verse. So we have a new set of order in the other variation of a verse. The example which is cited here is the famous verse of Surah Qaf, which is the 19th verse. It says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. And this is the qiraat of al-jama'ah, as pointed out by al-khatib. The other variation here is وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْحَقِّ بِالْمَوْتِ. So you can see that words have changed their placement here. And this is the reading of Sayyid ibn Jubair, Talha ibn Masood, Ubay ibn Ka'b, and Abu Bakr, as is pointed out by Al-Khatib. Now, the seventh variation. The seventh variation is due to addition or deletion of words. So we find that there are verses in which either some words have been added or some words have been deleted. So an example of this is فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ, which is the 24th verse of Surah Hadid, the 57th surah. In comparison, we have فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. The first one is the reading of everyone except Nafi ibn Amir and Abu Ja'far. And فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ, this is the reading of Nafi ibn Amir and Abu Ja'far, and of the Messiah of Medina and Syria. So this is what has been posited by Khatib himself. So viewers, this is a summary of the seven types of differences in readings found in the first category. So as you would recall, I said that the first category classifies the variant readings of the Quran in 7 different categories. These variant readings have been just presented before you in some of the examples, so as to let you know the nature of these differences and how our scholars relate that these are the 7 types of differences which Unzil al-Quran wala sabat al-ahruf, the hadith points to. I would now come to the second category, and this second category, as you would recall, is actually represented by a single scholar who is Abul Fazl al-Razi, and this has been mentioned by his whole view has been mentioned by Zurqani in his Manahil al-Irfan, fi ulum al-Quran. So again, I'm going to go through the 7 variations which he has pointed out, so that we can get to know of his view in this regard. So the first one, the first variation or the first difference he says is variations in nouns vis-a-vis singular, dual, plural, feminine, and masculine, how these nouns at times change in these respects. So the example that he has cited is the 8th verse of Surah Muminun, the 23rd surah, and the words are وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَأَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And this plural, لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ, has also been read as singular, as لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ. So amanatihim has amanatihim would mean that the word amanat has changed into the singular amanat. And this is the reading. The first is the reading of Ibn Kasir Nafi, as mentioned by Razi and Abu Amr from the riwayah of Ibn Muhaisin. But as far as the singular reading is concerned, this is the reading of Ibn Kasir Nafi, is even as mentioned by Razi and Abu Amr from the riwayah of Ibn Muhaisin. Now, let me go to the second variation in this regard. And this second variation, viewers, actually can be entitled as variations in verbs with regard to their tenses, past, indefinite, and imperative. So this is how this category has been classified. And the example that has been given by him is فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا بَاعِدْ بَيْنَ أَسْفَارِنَا, which is the 19th verse of Surah 34. And the variation here is that the word ba'id has also been read as ba'ada, in which case Rabbana has been read as Rabbuna. Of course, this is obviously understood. So as far as ba'id, the first reading is concerned, Rabbana ba'id bayna asfarina, this is the reading of the Jamhur. But the change which says ba'ada, this is the reading of Ibn Kasir and Abu Amir, as has been pointed out by Al-Khatib. He has also pointed out more variations in this regard, but I have just presented this particular example. Now, the third variation which Abul Fazl al-Razi has presented can be classified or can be entitled as variations in declensions or vowel sounds. And the example that he has given is verse 282 of Surah Baqarah, the second surah of the Quran, and the words are وَلَا يُضَارَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ. Now, this has also been read, the word yudharra has been read as yudharru, and this is the reading of Ibn Muhaisin, Ibn Kasir, Yaqub, and Yazidi. So this is how we can see that the variation in this regard. And if it is read as yudharru, the la is for negation, as in not for an imperative, in the negative case, as is the case with the first variation, after which a la, the verb is declined in the nominative. So this is just an additional grammatical explanation. Then we move on to the fourth variation in this regard by Abul Fazl al-Razi, and he says that the fourth variation can be classified as variations in addition and deletion of words. As you can see, this is something very similar to the category, the previous category. One of the differences that they had pointed out also was precisely the same. So variations in addition and deletion of words. And the example that he gives is وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. This is the qira'ah of Al-Jama'ah. This is verse 3 of Surah Al-Layl, the 92nd surah of the Quran. And he says that the above verse has also been read as وَالْذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. And this is the reading of Ibn Masud Al-Qama and Abu Darda, as pointed out by Al-Khatib in his Mujam al-Qira'at. In this regard, the fifth variation is the change in the order of the verse, and we had exactly the same in the previous category as well. In fact, the example is also exactly the same. The example is وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ, which is the 19th verse of Surah Qaf, and it is actually dubbed as the Qira'ah al-Jama'ah by Khatib. And the variation found here is وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْحَقِّ بِالْمَوْتِ. And according to him, this is the reading of Sayyid ibn Jubair, Talha ibn Masud, Ubay ibn Ka'b and Abu Bakr. Now, we come to the sixth difference, the sixth type of variation. This says variations in letter replacement. And the example that he gives is وَنْزُرْ إِلَى الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا. We have a similar category in the previous one as well, the similar classification. And he says that the word نُنْشِزُهَا of the above verse has been read as نُنْشِرُهَا, the za being replaced by a ra. And this is the reading of Nafi, Ibn Kasir, Abu Amir, Ibn Amir, Yaqub, Abu Ja'far, and Ibn Abbas. So the نُنْشِرُهَا part. So now we come to the seventh variation, or seventh category in this regard, which he has pointed out. And this can be, the heading that can be given is variations in pronunciation like fath, imala, tarqiq, tafkheem, izhar, and idgham. We have already dealt with this variation in pronunciation as a separate category as well, which is in fact was the first interpretation of this Unzil al-Quran wa la sabat al-ahruf narrative itself. So in this regard, the example cited is وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. This is verse 15 of Surah Naziat, the 79th Surah of the Quran. Now, as you can see, it says هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاسِيَةِ. Now the word أَتَا has pronounced with both فَتْحَ and إِمَالَ. So إِمَالَ again would say هَلْ أَتَاكَ. It would be something which in which the فَتْح is turned towards the kasra. And similarly, we have other examples in this regard. So this is as far as the these variations are concerned. In this regard, we have to understand the fact that these variations have been grouped and categorized by our scholars themselves. And we have two separate distinct categories. One of these categories was discussed earlier, and the second one I've just pointed out. Now, let me point out the critique which has been presented by our past scholars on this particular interpretation of the narrative, which says that the Quran, when the narrative says when the Quran was revealed on seven ahruf, they imply that it was revealed on seven types of variations or seven types of differences in Quranic readings. The first question, viewers, which has been pointed out in this regard by Imam Khuy in his Al-Bayan and by Abu Shahba in his Al-Madkhal, it says that the proponents of this view have not presented any argument in favor of their view except for the fact that they have tried to count the differences and they have accidentally or incidentally come up to seven. So the basic argument that they cite is that there is no argument in favor of it except for the fact that these differences have come up to seven. And moreover, they say that this inductive counting has led various people to come up with various differences in this regard, because some of our scholars have counted seven types of readings, which are seven different types, and another group has seven other different types. So the scholars of the first category have come up with different types, which is of course understandable. Now, according to Abu Shahba, he further says that the last category mentioned in the last difference or variation mentioned in category 2, remember it was variation in pronunciation, in which fath, imala, tarqiq, tafkheem was the one. He says that if such was the all-pervasive unanimity on this, that why is it that a person like Abul Fazl al-Razi has come up with a category which is not even found in category number 1? Similarly, in Abu Shahba's view, the first, second, and sixth types of category 2 are the same as the fifth type of category 1. Now, the first, second, and sixth types of category 2, so what are they? The first says that variations in noun vis-a-vis singular, dual, plural, feminine, and masculine. The second says variations in verbs with regard to their tenses, past, indefinite, and imperative. And the third is variations in their letter replacement. So he says that this can be subsumed in category 1, which in category 1, the fifth type in category 1, and the fifth type was variations which change the shape of a word as well as its meaning. So what he says is that this single category of category of category 1, actually, which is the fifth category of the fifth type of variation, this broadly covers up the three types of differences which have been presented in category number 1. So why should they be classed as three separate ones? Imam Khuy has also criticized the differences which change their meaning and differences which do not. Should not be classified as two differences because the reading form of the words do not change. So as far as the reading is concerned, they do not change. So why should such a difference in which the meanings change, but the reading is the same, should be classified as a different variation. Now, he also says that differences which depend on the written shape of the word also cannot be counted or accepted as a category, the shape of the word, because the Quran is a book that was revealed by the Almighty to mankind orally and not in written form. So once something was written, was revealed to mankind in the oral form, how can the shape of the word be taken into account? Because it was never given to us in written form. Imam Khuwi also contends that a vast portion of the Quran is unanimously read by all. So although we have differences in reading the verses of the Quran, but there is a vast portion in which all the readers and all the reciters are unanimous in reading the Quran. And so if the instances of differences and instances of agreement are added, then this would mean that the Quran has been revealed actually on 8 ahruf. Because the 7 would constitute the 7 types of differences, but the 8 would constitute the unanimity. So if this is the case, then why is it that the verse is not actually, the hadith or the narrative is actually saying that the Quran was revealed on 7 ahruf? Imam Khuwi says that the first and second types of category number 2 are essentially the same, because differences in nouns and in verbs can be enumerated in one type in which the form of a word or a verb changes. So this is how he says that why is it that variations in nouns and variation in verbs should be classed in category number 2 as two different types of variation, because they can be classed easily in one single heading in which you can say that this is a word in which the form of a verb changes. It could be a noun or a verb. It doesn't matter. The form changes. So he says that this is something which is an enigma to him. He also says that since differences in pronunciation do not affect the form of a word, hence they cannot be classed as a separate category. So this is actually a critique on Abul Fadl Razi's last variation that he's pointed out, which is variation in pronunciation. He says that this does not affect the form of a word, so how could differences in pronunciation be classed as a separate category? And viewers, many years ago, Ibn Jazari in his Nashr fil Qiraat al-Ashr had already expressed this view, this particular view of Imam Khuwi as well. So this is the first question which comes to mind, or which our previous scholars have already tackled, and which is the first critique on this interpretation. Now, let me come to the second critique. And this critique has been presented by Abu Shahba in his Al-Madkhal. So he says that the 7 ahruf hadith, the reason for the 7 ahruf hadith was to provide ease to the people, and they could read the Quran according to their own understanding or the way they had been read out. So he questions this ease and facility. He says, what kind of ease and facility is found in reading the Quran with such variations? So if there are 7 variations and a person has to adopt a single of them or a few of them which are more easier to them, then how can we say that this particular aspect is something which provides ease to them? Because this difference in reading the Quran in 7 types of variations is not necessarily an ease. It might be, as he would posit, or as he would say, more of a burden to them. Now, the third question, this has been raised by Manna al-Qattan. He says that the proponent of this view maintained that the Osmanic codices consists of readings which are in conformity with the script of the Quran and which also have been reported by a reliable isnad. But he says that there are some variations which both in the first category and in the second category which actually violate this principle. He says that Osmanic codices had this stipulation that anything which is not in conformity with these Osmanic codices shall not be accepted as a variant reading. And so he points out two categories or two types of variation in both these categories which actually violate this principle. And the categories that he points out is variations which change the order of the words. As you could remember, Ja'at Sakratul Maut Bil Haq was actually changed. The words were interchanged. And similarly, variations due to deletion or addition of words. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ وَفَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ is the example. So he says that both these types of variations are found in both the categories. So how can we explain this? Because if we accept this, then we will be accepting a reading or readings which are in violation of the principle coined, which says that these readings should not be beyond the Usmanic script. They should not change the Usmanic script. The fourth question, the fourth critique in this regard, which has been been arisen, is in this regard, is that according to Abu Shahba and Imam Hui, how would this explain the variant of the seven Ahraf hadith in which Gabriel came down with one harf and he was again sent back, and then he brought a second harf, and would this actually mean that every time he came down with one set of variations in reading the Quran, and then he came down with a second set of variations? So this does not seem to make sense, and it is quite absurd. The fifth question, which has been raised, is actually been raised by Dr. Hassan Ziauddin Al-Itr, and he has raised this in his book Al-Ahraf Al-Saba wa manzilu al-qiraat minha. So he says that the word harf is not appropriate for this particular interpretation. So if the word harf is taken into account, his critique basically is linguistic in nature. He says that we cannot account for the fact that the linguistic usage of the word harf is appropriate to say that it refers to seven types of differences or variations in Quranic readings. So this is a summary of the five-point critique, which I have summarized before you as the views of our previous scholars. As far as I am concerned, I endorse most of these views and would like to add one more critique from my own self, and that is that this particular interpretation would become also very questionable when the last part of the hadith narrative is taken into account. So it says faqra'u ma tayassara min, so you can read the Quran on any of the huruf which is more easier for you. So how would this particular interpretation fit there? It would be very absurd to say that you can read the Quran on one variation or on two variations or two types of variations. Why is it that this is being said? Because obviously, if the variations are a lot of number, then as far as these variations are concerned, they should all be allowed. Because if you accept these variations, then these variations are actually providing ease. So, or they are telling us that فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ would mean that read the Quran on any of the categories of these variations which are easy for you, which obviously does not make sense. So viewers, this is a summary of the critique of the fifth interpretation of this narrative. Inshallah, in the subsequent sessions, we'll take up some of the remaining interpretations, and then we will go on to discuss the isnad of this narrative. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ